Okay, good morning. My name is Kang Tang. I'm the lead developer for this low carbon ICP project in Oxford. So in next about 20 minutes or so, I'm going to briefly introduce the two services we have developing in Oxford during this project, the monitor service and the wakeland service. In a big university such as Oxford University, the power consumption by a desktop computers are unsurprisingly very high. So, and we realize that most simple but efficient way of saving power by desktop computers are switched off when they are not in use. However, although everyone probably knows that, not everyone does that. So we ask the question why people don't do that. And at the beginning of the project, we did some kind of anonymous survey in Oxford, and this is a list of answers we collect from the survey. All the rest have been talked by Howard, I think. The last one, careless or bad memory. For this kind of people, I think probably what they need is not some software tools can help them saving power, but some probably better education in energy saving and global warming, this kind of thing, right? So if we look at this answer, it's not difficult for us to find that people tend to leave their computer on. Even the actual time their computer have to be on is really short period. For example, the backup or update service normally it takes no more than 1 hour, maybe, depends on your hard drive size. If you want to log into a system just to download some document, it probably only takes you 5 minutes. But for this very short period of usage, people have left their computer running 24/7. So that's the reason why we think, well, if we can provide them some kind of tools, allow them to wake up the computer when necessary, if the update or backup service can actually automatically wake up their computers before a scheduled task happens, they can probably just switch off their computers. Right. This is how wakeonline came into our site initially. For those people who do not know about wakeonline, it's a technology that allows you to switch on computer remotely. It's originally from Intel and IBM in 1997, so it's a technology that has been around about 10 years, it's quite old, but not widely used. Okay, supported by most modern hardware. If you happen to have a machine which is older than 10 years old, maybe it doesn't support wakeonline. Okay, how it works. So basically when, I'm going to be talking about this briefly. So basically when you switch off your computer, a tiny amount of power is still reserved for your network adapter so that it can listen to the network for a special kind of package. What we call magic packet. It's a broadcast packet, UDP packet. It consists of 6 bytes of ones plus 16 times of MAC address. So when you receive this packet, the network adapter will power up your system. Okay. Wakeonline over internet is possible. If you search on Google, you might find a lot of web-based wakeonline applications. But if you try with them, most of them you find is not usable or it's not working. The reason is, again, because magic packet is a broadcast, okay? To enable a broadcast packet transfer from internet to your local network, you have to enable on your local router the broadcast forwarding feature. And generally, this is considered as a security risk because it makes your network vulnerable to a smurf attack. So wakeonline over internet is possible, but it's not as easy as you might think, right? So overall, we think wakeonline protocol is a simple but useful product. We say it's simple because it doesn't have any built-in security mechanism, for example. It's based on, it has nothing to do with, nothing about authentication or authorization, this kind of stuff. It's based on UDP. That means it's a best effort protocol. So when designing and implementing wakeonline service in Oxford, we have take this limitation of the technology into account. So, and work out a way to try to mitigate these risks or limitation of the technology itself. Okay, right. So let's have a look at the institutional weak online service we have built in Oxford. So first you got a central server as a single user front end, where a user can actually manually wake up a computer or a third party service can integrate through it. I'm going to talk about this later. Okay. So then we got gateway servers in local subnet. They are acting as an agency for this weak online service. Right, and each of these computer node, computers or other network equipment are identified by their physical address, the MAC address. Since we are talking about weak online service here, what we are looking at the machine that hasn't been switched on yet. Machines that hasn't been switched on don't even have a MAC address, IP address. So yeah, MAC address is reasonable identity for us. Integration with institution single sign-on. Okay, so we don't allow anonymous access to this service. That's because of security reason. Very easy to understand. So people in Oxford, they can use their existing single sign-on account to log into this service. And before they can wake up a node, they have to register for this node. They have to register as owner for that node. Again, for security reasons. We don't want anyone else can wake up your computer without you even knowing about that. And once a node has been registered once, it won't be able to be registered for another person unless you are ITSS officer, right? So the communication between the central server and the proxy server or gateway server are secured using SSL. It's also integrated with third-party service in Oxford, such as update service or backup service, what we call HFS here. Right, so it's not only human interfaced, but also machine interfaced. Some people asked me before that why bother to using this gateway server in your architecture, because we can use VLANs to trunk multiple subnets to a single central server, right? That's perfectly fine with a small-scale network, but probably not that easy in Oxford University, I would say, because we don't have the control over the switches or network equipment in different subnets. And by using these gateway servers, there's nothing can prevent us to deploy the service in a larger scale, right, over internet, for example. Right, so this diagram here shows us the interface provided by a central server user, central weak online server. So you can see the normal user using browser to interact with the human interface. And third-party services interact with the machine interface using standard web service interface. So messages here. And then we protect the communication using WS Security API, also Kerberos for the standard HTTP request. Okay, let's have a closer look at the gateway servers I mentioned earlier. So once a central server has been built in an organization, normally that's it, because only one instance of central server is required. Typically, for each of the department, the only thing they need is to install a gateway server. Right. If this department is very big and they happen to got multiple subnets, then for each of the subnets, you might need a single gateway server. The main responsibility of this gateway server is to broadcast a MAC packet locally whenever a request has been received on the central server. Once again, the communication between central server is secured. Since this is a green software, what we call it, okay, we really encourage to install it as a virtual machine wherever possible. For this reason, we have made the software downloadable as a VMware appliance for either Linux or Windows. So in that case, the extra power consumption caused by this gateway server is pretty ignorable. Right, okay. It has very low hardware requirement. We have been testing the gateway software with some virtual machine with 256 meg memory, and it was running smoothly. If we put them all together, we can see in this diagram, that's the infrastructure diagram for the Wakanda service we developed in Oxford. Okay, on the left-hand side, the user logging through Webull single sign-on to registration server. Okay, here. Right, and then they can either register for the owner of the particular node or manually wake up an already registered node. Right. A request is forwarded to this gateway server in their local network server, in their local network by this central WakeOnline server. And this HFS service here is the name of the backup service in Oxford. So before a scheduled task happens, this HFS can query this registration database to get the necessary information, in particular the MAC information, and then call our central server here to wake up a computer. Right. This is an actual user interface you will see if you log into the WakeOnline central server. So as you can see here, for each of these nodes you have registered, you can see a line here, the MAC address, you can give a name, the TSM client name, the backup service. Right? Basically, you can, if you already got a TSM client, you can bind them together. Then that's for the automatically scheduled wake up and that they register. Very simple, but yeah, very neat. Okay, next I'm going to talk about the monitor service very briefly again. So the service, it was initially started as a helper service to WakeOnline because one of the motivation for monitoring is to evaluate the actual adoption of WakeOnline. We want to know how many people are actually using our WakeOnline service, you know, things. Whether they have been really helpful to the department to save power or not. And the monitoring tool is very helpful for this purpose. And we believe better control is not possible unless we got better monitoring. By showing people the actual number of computers that have been kept alive in their department, people are more likely to be convinced that about the amount of power that can be potentially saved. Okay. Also, to make better use of existing infrastructure. The reason I said that is because since we already got this gateway server in the local department, right, it's technically really easy for us to do a subnet scanning using layer 2 protocol. Layer 2 protocol sub-scanning is normally produced result with higher accuracy than through layer 3 protocol, such as ping, this kind of method. Okay. The nice thing about monitor service and the WakeOnline service is they share exactly the same gateway software. So once you have built a gateway in your department, basically you have both the monitor gateway and the WakeOnline gateway. There's a software switch built in with this software on this gateway, okay? So the IT officer in the department can easily either enable it or disable it. Once again, it's integrated with the campus single sign-on, so no anonymous access is allowed. When a user logging, we query the university LDAP server to try to find what attribute this user got. For example, either it's an IT officer or it's a normal user, either it's from physics or chemistry. So from this attribute, we will be able to give them the correct privilege. The last one, privacy concern. Okay. So we don't want people to feel that we are watching them using this service. So for this reason, at this moment, the current release, we don't have this individual graph for each individual machine. Instead, we only record the total number of live nodes at any moment. But in future, maybe I'm not very sure about this one. Probably because there are some users already mentioned to us that, well, if they found that the number of machines is very high, that have been left alive is very high, it will be interesting to find out what the machine is. We can probably provide this feature in future, but limit to only a very small number of people. So that's infrastructure for monitor service. Again, it's very similar with the previous one since they're sharing exactly same gateway here. On the left-hand side, user login through this single sign-on and access this monitor server here. And this monitor service can query LDAP server to get the attribute for this user. And at the same time, this monitor server using a different thread to check or collect the data from this gateway server periodically. Right. So, okay, finally, I'm going to show you roughly how the interface will be like. Yeah, well, that's the current interface, but since this monitor service is still in development, in future we're going to add some other things and make some changes to the interface. So if you look at this graph here, you can see the obvious drops during this weekend. There's a weekend and the evening. That's 5 days a week. Very obvious, right? And the drops between the daytime and evenings means a lot of people are doing well because they already switch off their computers, right? But on the other hand, there's still about 200 nodes are actually running 24/7. Among these 200 nodes, probably there are some of them are switches, network equipment, so they have to be left on. That's reasonable. Probably some of them are servers, or probably some of them are other stuff, right? So as I said, this software is still in development. At the moment, we don't really distinguish these network nodes, but in future, we're going to provide a facility to allow people actually categorize these nodes, say whether it's a machine, whether it's a LAN switch, whether it's a printer, so that you can get graph that you are interested only, right? The bottom here is a target that can be set by the IT administrator so that, you know, for this department here is 20. So they aim to get down this line to here. A lot of work to be done. And you can also, another interesting thing about this graph here is on Wednesday night, you can see that on Wednesday night there's much higher number of live nodes than the rest of nights. The reason for that is because for this department, Wednesday night is a time when scheduled backup happens. So a lot of people have been told that they have to leave their computer on just for the backup purpose. So hopefully with this VCONLAN thing, people will be able to switch off their computer in future. Right. So yeah, for more information about this project, you can access our website. If you've got any technical questions about this project, you can always send me an email. Next, I'm going to hand over to Jeff Covert, who is going to share with us some of his experience of actually using this software and also some other approach in the department.